from this person who's calling my name.
Yes, sir.
So the songwriter says, hush, be quiet, so I can hear what this person who's calling my name has to say to me. Some of y'all remember that word because you may have to use that before the service is out. Tell somebody to be nice. Now, don't tell them to shut up, be quiet, just tell them, hush. It's kind of nice when you say that. You have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. 1 Samuel 30. While you're getting that, given unto God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us, to our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, to our first and only lady sister Stinger, I know you're there. Amen. To my fellow sufferers in the gospel who are near on the Diaz and those who may be in the congregation, to all the officials here, deaconess, to this choir, amen.
Bless,
growing, the musicians, to each of you God's children, to my lovely wife and my son from home, from school. He's at the house. He's visiting, amen. and our youth, amen. Look at these young people.
Yeah, okay.
We had breakfast. They didn't just come for the breakfast, but they were participating on the program on this morning.
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited about our future. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because our future is taking place right now, today. Amen.
Amen.
And you got to be around. See, I'm in the rap session. You have to understand, I may be learning too much. You know, I may be picking up way too much in the rap session. I'm just saying. So the young people are informed, they're talented, they're gifted, and the future is so bright. But 1 Samuel 30, I'm going to read from 1 through 10, then I'm going to skip to the 16th verse and pick it up through the 19th verse. Amen. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Just want to give you some context so you know what we're talking about on today. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag, and spit in Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, and their sons, and their daughters taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices, get this, and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
Give God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, the Amalekite son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which was so faint that they could not go over over the brook Besor. Verse number 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad in the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode on camel and fled. And David recovered all, that the Amalekites had carried away, and never rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither son nor daughter, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken. David recovered all. Would you bow your heads and pray for me? Pray with me. And for God, we thank you for being so good and so kind to us. For being God all by yourself. We need you today.
Yes, God.
Stand in need of your word.
Yes.
We know, Lord, you said you would send forth your word into the earth, but not return to your void. As you give us your word, Lord, open up our eyes that we can see.
Yes.
Our ears that we can hear.
Yes, God.
Our hearts that we can understand.
Yes.
Hide me, Lord, so that you within the crevices of the cross will be hiding to not me as seen, but only you. Yes. And you can do, Lord. We thank you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. our text, I want to take it from verse number 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop?
Yeah.
Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Now, I played with this subject. I thought about calling it chase, catch, and collect. Triple C. But then I figured out, just let me just stay with the words that are here. Pursue, overtake, and recover all. Turn your name to neighbor.
Neighbor.
All name. God wants us to pursue, overtake, and recover all. That's it. We're talking about that. We'll go home. Is that all right? Look at where we are. In 1 Samuel 29, David somehow manages to get himself in a bit of a jam. Mm. After being delivered from the hands of Saul on numerous occasions, David decided, he became weary, and so he decided to get away from Saul and become a fugitive. So in his moment of despair, he decided to leave God's hand of protection and make it on his own. So he took 600 of his men, accompanied by their wives and their children, and they fled from Saul into the land of the Philistines. Mm-hmm. And just in case you missed that, they went to the other side with the enemies. Mm-hmm. Somebody called it sleeping with the enemies. David was convinced that once Saul discovered where he was, that he would leave his pursuit and he would leave him alone. And David was right. I mean, if you leave your homeland and you go over to the enemy, I mean, you figure if you're on the enemy's camp, maybe they'll take you out. I won't have to try to take you out. David had all kinds of trouble because Saul was trying to kill him forever, it seemed. Ever since he had been anointed to be king. After some time, though, here in the enemy's country, David persuaded the king Achish, the king of the Philistines, he persuaded to allow them to leave Gath and to set up a camp in a remote city in this place we call today Ziklag. From this base of operation, David did some attacks. What David did, what was interesting, was he did not attack the enemies, or rather his friendlies, his homeland, Israel. He attacked the enemy. So he's living in the camp with the enemies and fighting the enemies.
Yeah.
But see, when you're doing that, see what he did? Whenever he went out to fight someone, he made sure that he killed everybody that was there so that nobody would get the word back to King Achish and let him know what David was really doing.
Yeah.
That's some kind of covert action, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's running a covert action, and then so here he's killing everything, and no word got back. But then when he would meet with Achish, the king would ask him what he was doing, and he would tell him that he was opening up a trail for him or making a way for him, or doing something, killing the Israelite, and somehow the king believed him. But one day, here's where the rubber meets the road in the 29th chapter. The king, Achish, went to David and said to him that, I want you to join us in our fight against the Israelites. Now, what would you do? I mean, you've been living here in the country for now a little over a year, and now the king is asking you to put your money where your mouth is. And so you can't even blow your cover.
Yeah.
So David decided he would go ahead and fight. Well, you know, getting ready to go out and fight, and the princes of Philistine, they really didn't like the idea of the enemy being on the back of the battle.
Yeah.
Because if we start to fight, and what if they change their mind? Mm-hmm. Now David, he really didn't want to do it anyway, and so when the king asked him to go home, David really was somewhat excited. Because all of a sudden he didn't have to fight the people he was actually part of. He didn't have to fight against the Israelites. But he did approach the king and say, what, did I do something wrong? You got to live your cover. Y'all, anybody, I mean, if you say you're a saint, you got to act like a saint. I mean, you got to live your cover, right? I mean, y'all can say amen. Huh? So here it was on this day. It's now time for him to go home. He said, in the morning when we go out to battle, instead of you going to battle, you go back to the house. Now, David has been out killing all the enemies, the Amalekites and others, and so he's on his way back to home. And when we pick up our best in our text this morning, we find now he's returning from Gath, where King Achish has sent him with kind words. He said, you're good with me. In fact, to me, you're just like an angel of God. He's going back all excited now because he realizes his plan is now sticking. The king is really fooled. I mean, he really believes I'm on his side. So his men are going back home. But when they get home, somebody say, when they get home.
When they get home.
All of a sudden, home is not home anymore. Home has been burned down. Everybody there has been taken. And so here we pick up our verse this morning. We find that the city has been burned to ground. The homes are destroyed. The children and the wives are gone. And as far as they're concerned, they may be dead. The Amalekites had come and invaded the land. And now David and his men, they yelled and they cried. They boo-hooed and they cried and they boo-hooed some more until they had no more tears left to cry. Amen. Now, you know, it's got to be some kind of hurt to have men crying like that. Any men in the house? Any man in the house? You know, a man don't just cry.
Yeah.
You got to be crying about something to be a man. So here's what come on. I just want to make sure somebody got what I'm talking about. You got to be in a place to be a man. He cried every tear that they had. Now, here's what happened. When they got so upset, when all of a sudden all the tears were gone, they realized, wait a minute, what caused this problem in the first place? They began to point their finger at David. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have this problem. See, that's what happened when you're playing with thugs. That's who they were. They were a group of thugs. They had a group of thugs with them. And so when all of a sudden their true color came out. You can't watch your company. You know what I'm saying? Watch your company. So all of a sudden they get upset. They decide they're going to stone David. Now, wait a minute. David is not the only one there, but David realized he is their leader. So David was distressed. That's called distress for those of you who read about. He was distressed. And he, like everybody else, David had lost his wives, both of his wives. He had two of them. I need you to see who this David is, because this was the same David who had been anointed king over Israel.
Yeah.
And this was the one who had been called, specifically chosen, destined for the throne. This was the one who had killed a lion, killed a bear, and destroyed a disrespectful giant. Right. This was the one after God's own heart. Yeah. But this man, David, is now distressed.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but maybe you've been on David Street. Because if you ever get down David Street when you've been blessed like that, and you know God is calling you to do something, and all of a sudden things go bad, don't you start asking yourself as a Christian, wait a minute, Lord, I fought. Ain't nobody but me. I'm the only Christian that think it all goes wrong when you're a Christian. Been a Christian, you feel like, you know, why is it that I seem to be the only one going through something? All these other folks trying to stone me, I'm the only one that ever did something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't see none of them picking up a stone trying to hit each other, but they're all trying to get me. I said he was distressed. Seriously stressed. He was distressed. Well, then you have to ask, you have to think that he started to question, why, if God was with me or him, why was Saul insanely jealous of him and trying to kill him? Why, if he had been chosen and anointed, was he having to escape and be supported by the enemy? Why, if God was upon him, was he guiding him and guiding him? Why did he find himself in a cave? Why, if he was a man of God after God's own heart, did he live in the wilderness and was hunted down like a wild man? Why, if he was all that, was he going through all this? Nobody? Anybody? Let me go further. Is this the reward of the anointed? That the sleepless nights and fearing for your life and being harassed and being lied on, being put to the side, living on handout, being an outcast? Is this what God's anointed do?
Yeah.
Well, if it is.
Uh-huh.
Do I need that?
Tell me.
Is that something you want to do?
Now,
to make matters even worse, on top of all that we just talked about, now, finally, after settling in a place where he called home in Ziklag, enjoying a few months of peace, now, all of a sudden, his home is destroyed. It's one thing to catch it at work. It's another thing to catch it at church. It's another thing to catch it in the community. But it's a whole different thing. Come on, somebody. To catch it at the house. You gotta have a place where you can call a haven that's at the house. But when he gets back home, he is destroyed. Now he is discouraged, feeling like he's a complete failure. He's been abandoned by God. He's all by himself. He's rejected by those that, who at one point they trust. Now he's all alone. No close friend, no family. He is distressed.
Yeah.
Now what would you do? Mm-hmm. What would you do? I mean, what you think David's going to do? Well, let's see what David did. But somebody, you say, but God. But I'm going to say, but David, instead of despairing like others, instead of being angry like others, instead of blaming someone else like others, David distinguished himself. Mm-hmm. He didn't do what others did. David encouraged
himself.
I don't know if y'all hear what I'm saying.
Yeah. Encouraged himself.
I said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
He didn't have anybody he could turn to.
Yeah, that's right.
He was down and out. But he took a moment just to encourage himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Church, we got to learn from David that every now and then, like Paul said, we got to encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Yeah.
Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 10, he said, to be strengthened with thy might and thy spirit in the inner man. He said in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. As bad as it may seem, as bad as may appear, as bad as may have been for them, get this, God was in this tragedy.
Yeah.
Despite what you might think or what David might think, church, God was amid this stress. Sometimes to be the person God is calling us to be, we've got to go through in order to get to. Sometimes we've got to suffer in order to be. If David was going to become the man God wanted him to be, David had to be stripped of everything, including his reputation and his self-will. If he was going to be the man God wanted to be, he had to cry and to get all the tears out of his system, all those pity tears. You know, you know those kind of tears that, oh, woe is me. I'm the only one going through. He had to cry so much that he got to a point where he started to understand crying is all right. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He had to face the full fury of loneliness and overcome it to finally say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm talking about David. He had to get to a point where he put away the memory of applause and praise of man to get to a point where he completely and totally dependent on God. Where he said, I'll look to the hill. My help coming from the Lord. Sometimes you got to get knocked all the way down. Trust in the King. Hold the Lord. Once his lesson had learned, once he learned his lesson, then he went to God. Once he learned his lesson, once he got to man's extremity is God's opportunity. Once he got to the bottom where he was looking up to sea bottom, then he realized, wait a minute, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Right.
He encouraged himself in the Lord. In verse number 8, look what happens. And David inquired of the Lord. I like this part because he could have gone to those men and said something like, well, what y'all want me to do? He could have gone to a trusted counselor, but he went and said to the Lord. He said to the Lord, look at it, he asked the Lord's question. He said, Lord, I like his question because his mind is right. He said, look, somebody come in your house and take your family. I would think your first reaction would be to go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them.
Go get them.
Go get them. He didn't get hasty. But he went to God and he said, I'm going to ask you a question, Lord. Shall I pursue and overtake?
Yeah.
Y'all going to get this in a minute. But God answered, hear this, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake.
Well,
you didn't ask for this, but get this, and you're going to recover all. You just asked to pursue and overtake. I got news for you. You're going to recover all.
Yeah.
We're going to get there in a minute because y'all need to see what that means. But here he said, you're in a situation where you are in a bad situation and you just want to know if you want to go after him and catch up with him and beat him up. Because, see, you can't see beyond yourself.
Yeah.
You can't see beyond 2020, but I need to let you know something. Everybody that they took, they're all right.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to bring them back. We're going to get there. We're a church. We're living in a time When saints, can I talk about us?
Yes.
Christians.
Yes.
Holy rollers.
Yes.
Sanctified folk.
Yes.
Baptist, Karen, baptized believers.
Yes,
have had their joy,
yes,
their marriages, their prayer lives, their songs, their shouts, their quiet time, their hunger for the word, their love and their happiness robbed, taken, stolen, yes, stripped, removed, good week, and bamboozled. And we're sitting on the sideline distressed. Kind of like David ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And we're justified. I mean, it's right. I mean, it's qualifiable. It's quantifiable. We shouldn't be distressed. I mean, we're going through some stuff. The question is, will you stay there?
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Are you going to stay there?
Yeah.
Are you going to sit there in your situation, in your despair, angry, blaming everybody, anybody, somebody, or nobody, but just sit there? Or are you going to heed God's words to David and pursue, overtake, and recover all?
Yeah.
I just want to ask you a question. Can we talk about it for a minute?
Yeah,
first thing he said, I need you to pursue. Now, that means chase. Get up and do something.
Amen.
Don't just sit here, moan and be moaning about what's going on. I don't think y'all can make it. Well, you're not. You're not going to make it. Because if that's all you got, that's all you're going to get. We got to stop moaning about stuff. You got to understand that we are with the devil. We have taken the devil. And we got to understand that we let the devil get our advantage, to take advantage of us. It's time for the church to start chasing the devil.
Amen.
You get y'all what I say?
Yeah.
It's time for us to put Satan on the run.
Okay.
We're in a war, and we got to get on the offense and get off defense.
Yeah.
That is T-H-E fence.
Yeah.
Y'all feel me?
Yeah.
We got to stop trying to defend ourselves on defense and get on the offense. Let me be honest. Y'all read the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, where Paul's talking about the arm. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor, and having done all to stand, he said, stand. He said, but look, we wrestle not against such but spiritually. We fighting the devil, y'all.
That's right.
We've been busy getting confused. We've been so twisted up. We're fighting each other, but it's the devil that we're fighting.
Come on, preacher.
Now, we're quick to say the devil made me do it. We're giving the devil too much faith. He
said,
having your lion's girdle about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having on the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the spirit, and praying always. Now notice, if you look at that armor, there's nothing in it that covers your back.
That's right.
There's nothing in there that puts you in a position to be running away from somebody. We need to go get it.
Because
everything we've been suited with is about going get it. We need to pursue Ephesians 4:27. He said, neither give place to the devil. We have not only given place, but we've given space and way too much credit to the devil. We need to recognize and begin to use our power that we have in God right now. We are better off with the Lord on our side. We've got more going for us with God on our side than the devil can ever defeat. We better recognize that there was a war going on. And if we are going to win, we have got to pursue. You cannot beat the devil if you're always going away from him and he's always ambushing you and defeating you. You got to change the game. Pursue him. What is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing and expecting different results. The devil's been beating you up all these years. You've been doing the same thing, coming and praying about it and going back and letting it beat you up some more.
Come on, preacher.
Why don't you try something different?
Amen.
There's a thought, right? Colossians 10:3-5, he said, but though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Hear what I'm saying? We're not fighting each other, for the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down whole stronghold, casting down every imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought that is to the obedience of Christ. We got to recognize that our mind must be the mind of Christ. And if Christ said, 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
He that's in you.
Yeah.
That David said he encouraged himself. He that's in you is greater than what you're fighting against out here.
Amen.
I hope y'all heard that.
Amen.
You got to begin to pursue, to change, to go after what you want. I said it earlier, go get your blessings.
Yeah.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Don't sit back.
Yeah.
Wait until somebody bring you your blessing.
My Lord.
Don't sit back expecting the devil to stop blocking your blessings. That's what the devil does. That's his job. But you got to go get your blessing. So the first thing I need you to do is pursue. But then let me give you number two. He said, I need you to overtake. That means to catch or to catch up with. See, I remember watching Tyler and RJ playing soccer when they first put on they first donned the uniform as little kids. And they were out there, and the ball was on the ground, and their uniform was on. It was nice, clean, and pristine. And they really, I don't think they had grasped the concept of the game yet, because what happened was they put the uniform on. They were busy looking at the uniform. And whoever was kicking the ball, they'd get behind whoever was kicking the ball. And they just kind of run behind the ball. It's like somebody needs to take the ball from, that's the other team, man. Don't run behind him. Go get the ball and kick it the other way. But they were just having the fun of their life. They were just, I'm like, when they figure this out, this is going to be pretty good, because they're pretty fast. It's clear that they're not running as fast as they could. They're just running along with them and letting them kick the ball. You know, they kick it, they run behind them, check the suit, you know what I mean? Church, that's like some of us Christians.
Paint
the picture. We are running, we are pursuing, but we're not trying to catch anybody.
No.
We ain't trying to get the ball.
No.
We're not trying to, we're just looking good.
Come on, Seth.
Running.
Running.
Looking good.
I'm running for my life. Getting tired.
Yeah.
Wearing ourselves out.
Uh-huh.
Ain't getting nothing for our effort.
Nah.
But you look good.
Yeah.
Did I mention y'all look good today?
Yeah. Y'all look good.
I know. But that's not what we've been called to do. He said, overtake.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 9 and 24 said, know ye not that they was running a race, run all.
Yeah.
But one receiveth the prize. So run that you might obtain.
Yeah.
Don't be running around here running behind somebody else. You better go get your blessing. Ephesians 9:11 said, I return and saw unto the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Stop discounting what God has given you. Stop saying, I ain't big enough, I'm not old enough, I haven't had enough experience. You use what God has given to you.
Amen.
I got news for you. So Psalms 24 said, the earth and the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and the dead as well. Psalms 50:10 said, every beast of the field is mine, the cattle on the thousand. Here, I want to set it up to let you know all of this belongs to the Lord.
Yeah.
The psalmist looked at it one day in Psalms 27. He said, one thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty and inquire in his tabernacle. He's like, look here, everything belongs to God.
That's right.
If I desire it of him, maybe I ought to seek it of him. Yeah, let me make it plain.
Yeah.
Let me get a little plain.
Yeah.
Matthew 7:7 said, ask and it shall be given.
Seek
and ye shall find.
Yeah.
Knock and the door shall be open.
Uh-huh.
Stop sitting around moaning and groaning.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Pursue and overtake it. You have everything you need to get back what God, or to get what God has in store for you.
Uh-huh.
But you can't get there running behind somebody else.
Come on.
See, some of us are kind of tricky like this. We don't understand the gift God has given us, and we sitting back waiting on somebody else. I haven't been in here that long, or I don't know what the other person knows. I don't remember reading anywhere where God required me to know what you know.
All right, now.
I don't remember reading anywhere where he told me you were my example.
Yes, sir.
Now, I heard Paul saying I'll be an example, but he didn't tell me I had to be an example. But we need to understand God, Jesus, is our example.
Yeah.
And everything he's given us, if we use what we have, we can be the best. You know what I mean? I can't wait around and try to act like y'all. Some of y'all want me to act this way. I can't do that. See, because if I act the way you want me to act and not the way I've been acting, then what happened? I'm acting. And I can only be second best. But if I am, I be myself. You might not like it, but I'm number one. And what I like about it, everybody here can be number one. Stop letting people pigeonhole you and sit you in some little mold as if they have the answer to. You don't know the answer. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts.
Yeah.
As far as the heaven is from the earth. Y'all follow me? You haven't figured this thing out yet. So stop acting like you have, and let people be people, and you do your part and set the example.
Come on.
He said, the last thing I need you to do is to recover all. So I want you to pursue. I want you to overtake.
See,
some of us do that well too. We'll run, we'll get in the fight, and we'll start a fight. Some of us overtake very well. In fact, we're taking stuff God ain't told us to take.
Oh, no.
We give stuff that don't even belong to us.
Come on, preacher, come on.
Can I make it plain?
Yes, make it plain, God. Yes.
That ain't yours.
Yes. Come on.
She don't belong to you.
Oh, no.
He don't belong to you. Getting an overachievement.
Oh,
in the overachieving category.
Uh-huh.
Either slow down, slow your roll, let God. Let God direct you. You're doing way too much. And too little time. So let God lead you then, because he didn't tell you to go and recover somebody else's.
Come on.
He said recover all that belongs to you.
Yeah.
Recovery comes in two forms. I need to make this clear because I need us to see something. I'm going to close here. Number one, you get partial recovery and you get full recovery.
Mm-hmm.
See, partial recovery happens when you, like, for example, when you have a wound and all of a sudden you have a scar left, that's an indication that you had a wound. See, that's just partial recovery. It's not fully gone. Let me make it a little bit plain. Samson, y'all remember the story of Samson, how Samson, when he had his hair cut off and he was, you know, taken down and he had his eyes put out.
Yeah.
When he grew his hair back and his strength came back, he still was only partially recovered because he was still blind.
Yeah.
See, that's partial recovery. He had some stuff left over from the defeat. You know, he's been taken down and so he's coming back up, but he still has stuff left over. Now, there was another story in the New Testament, in Matthew 28 chapter. There was a blind man that Jesus went and put his hand on him. He said, he said, how do you see? He said, I see men as trees walking.
Yeah.
See, that's partial recovery. Jesus had to touch him a second time, and he said, how do you see men? He said, I see men as men. See, some of us church are living in a situation of partial recovery. We haven't quite received the full recovery.
Well,
we're out of the relationship,
but
we still hung up from the relationship. We still don't trust nobody. All men still is dogs.
Oh, no.
I think I'm about this thing is just gonna be all right. I pretty much told that up pretty good. You've been saved, free from sin, but you're still holding on to the old man.
Yeah.
That's partial recovery. Don't let the sin fool you.
Well,
I told you, I heard Tommy cracking these jokes, calling, making these telephone calls to Christians, and Christians turned it, they were real quick to go back.
Real quick.
I'm thinking partial recovery.
Real quick.
But I got news for you today, church. God's plan is not for partial recovery.
My God.
God's plan is for full recovery.
Yeah.
He said, recover all. Full recovery is recovering from a loss to the extent that there's no trace of having lost anything. Did y'all hear me?
Yeah.
This was Naaman's experience. But Naaman, he went down the water one time, and went down two times, and three times, and four times, and five times, and six times. But when he came up, the seventh time, this leprous man named Naaman had skin like a baby.
Yes,
that's total recovery.
Yeah.
God wants us to total recover financially, and physically, and intellectually, and socially, and naturally. Paul, he wants us to recover all. He wants us to be complete in him. That's in Colossians 2, but now we got to be complete in the Lord and understand God wants us to be, but we've allowed sin to have us be partially recovered.
Yeah.
But look how God will do it. He said in 1 John 1:7-9, he said, but if you walk in the light, as he is the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. If we say we have no sin, he said, we deceive ourselves, but the truth is not in us. But get this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I use the term all unrighteousness. See, some folks may not forgive you, but God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. See, folks will be still holding on to what God has already cleansed. They'll be still bringing it up. I told you, hush. God said, look here. I want you to show you something. Matthew 16:25.
Mm.
He said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever shall lose it shall gain it. For my sake shall gain it. Shall find it. John said, how shall they find it? He said, well, I come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. He said, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not trying to take anything away from you, and I'm not going to give you back 100-fold.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if y'all heard that. The disciples got concerned, and they started asking Jesus one day about, Father, we giving up all these things to follow you, and what we going to get in return?
Mm-hmm.
Look at what Jesus said in Mark 10:7. He said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has this house a brother, a sister, a father, a mother, a wife, a children, or land for my sake and the gospel of this, but shall receive a hundredfold now and this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution in the world to come, eternal life. That's the kind of God we serve. I got more mamas now. Than I ever had.
Yeah.
I got more mamas and more brothers and more sisters than I ever had. I got more house. I got more relatives. I got more places to go than I ever had. Because God restored everything that I had lost a hundredfold. Some of y'all look at you now. Look around in the church. Look at these folks who are your brothers and your sisters.
Yeah.
You get more when God brings you into his fold. He gives you more than you can ever lose. We serve an awesome God like that. He said, recover all. Don't just go and get some of it. I need you to get all of it. I don't need you to have partial recovery, but I need you to have full recovery. Not just look like you've been through something. See, some of us, I like this song say, I don't look like what I've been through. See, y'all look at me and y'all think I was like this all my life. Well, I got news for you. I don't look like what I've been through. They said I wasn't going to make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. And I'm still holding on. I don't look like what I've been through. I've been lying on. I'm too blessed to be the strength.